The Senate will come to order. Madam Secretary.
Amendment number 6 by Senators Huber and Orsini on page 2, line 29, delete substantial. Then on page 3, line 1, delete section 960C of. Delete the words sec 963 of on page 3, line 1. And then on page 3, delete all materials, lines 7 through 11, and renumber.
Senator Huber.
Mr. President, I move the amendment.
You have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, the first part of the amendment dealing with line 2 simply removes the term substantial, and it leaves in determination of financial need. The second part of the amendment, line 1, page 3, actually puts confidentiality of information back into the bill, because the financial confidentiality would have been removed because the section 1440-955, due to the words section 960 parent 3, dealt with a deleted section that we already deleted, because 960 parent 3 has been taken out, and only the information furnished under that deleted section would have been confidential. Now, with the adoption of the amendment, any information submitted in support of a determination of financial need as provided in this chapter is confidential. And that's the way it would happen now. The other section, the third part of the amendment, is the lines 7 through 11 deletion. By taking out section 3 in the earlier amendment, showing substantial financial need and family contribution, those are the only places they're mentioned in the bill. So we would have had a definition that defined expected family contribution when it is nowhere, anywhere in the bill applied, because we deleted the sections that required the use of it. And I'd ask unanimous consent.
We have a motion for the adoption of amendment number 6 and request for unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number 6 is adopted.
I don't think there are any other amendments.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move that the consent to move the suspended committee sessions of the House Bill 132 amended to the next third reading of the final
act. Is there any objection? There is objection, Senator Coleman.
Mr. President, I'm just objecting for purposes of asking a question in case I had a specific amendment in mind. On page 2, on line 12, it says a graduate of a high school in the state, or schedule for graduation from a high school in the state. And I would like to ask the chairman of HESS, through the chair, if this does include students who have their GED, who may have obtained them while they're in service. I know this has happened to many young men in the state, and I'd hate to think that they were precluded from getting in on this program by that.
Senator Hackney?
Mr. President, it would be my understanding, if you look on line 14 in that same page of the bill, it says with sufficient credits to be admitted to an accredited for secondary education institutions. Mr. President, those who get their GEDs do have the necessary credits to go to accredited institutions, so I would assume that the GED would be included in that section.
Mr. President?
Senator Huber?
I understand the intent of, this is Senator from Fairbanks, but the original words, Senator Poland quoted them, do preclude anyone except a graduate of a high school in the state or scheduled for graduation from a high school in the state. Now, we do have state, we also have state residents that end up graduating from some other high school for a short person, a short period of time. It would exclude them as well as the GED people. And I do believe another amendment is needed. I hate to see us, as the senator from Anchorage said yesterday, rewrite the substantial legislation on the floor, but we've certainly done that today, and this is another problem with it.
Mr. President.
Senator Cotullo.
We stand at ease for the amendment.
We stand at ease. The Senate will come to order. Madam Secretary, have we another amendment?
Amendment number 7 by Senators Poland and Huber to page 2, line 12 and 15. Delete all material and add. A person eligible to be admitted to an accredited post-secondary educational institution, semicolon, and.
Senator Poland.
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the amendment.
Yeah, the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, my purpose with the amendment is to be sure that not only high school graduates, but in case there's a question about a GED diploma or a student who is admitted by examination, would all of these would be eligible for this program. And I would ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Unanimous consent has been asked for adoption of amendment number 7. Senator Ray?
Just a question. I wonder through the chair if Senator Sumner agrees with this.
I think Senator Sumner is excused from a call after 11 o'clock, sir.
Oh, we're still writing these things on the floor. If he isn't here, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I didn't know he was concerned yesterday.
Unanimous consent has been asked for the adoption of amendment number 7. Hearing no objection, amendment number 7 is adopted. Any further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Senator Coletta. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 132, amended Senate, an act establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program and providing for an effective date.
Senator Hackney?
The bleeding remains a committee substitute for House Bill number 132, as endlessly amended on the floor of the Senate. It's a bill that would enable the state to pick up some federal funds that presently require 50% state match.
Senator Ziegler?
Mr. President, I'm sure that Charlie Farr has never, Representative Farr has never done a recognize his baby. If at all possible, would you keep me off the free conference?
Any further discussion or debate? Senator Huber?
I won't echo that request. I think that we did a good job of rewriting the bill on the floor. I regret that it was necessary, and I think it certainly proves that the bill we were not delaying anything by holding the bill. And I'm perfectly willing to take responsibility for not only what I've helped do here today, but for what every other person who has amended this bill has done. And I think we now have an approved bill. I was worried in the beginning about this grant program hurting the student loan program. We've improved the grant program so much after divorcing it from the student loan program that I kind of regret that we didn't leave the student loan program tied to it, because it might have improved it a little bit.
Question.
I want to remind senators that calling for the question is not a proper way to terminate debate, although it sometimes has that effect. Is there any further discussion or debate?
Thank you.
Any further discussion or debate? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 132 as amended pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, take the roll.
Roll shows 15 yeas, 3 are excused.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill number 132 as amended has passed the Senate. Senator Coletta. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it is so ordered. And so, committee substitute for House Bill number 132 as amended with an effective date clause has passed the Senate. Brings us to unfinished business. Senator Holman.
President, I would request a Judiciary Committee referral of Senate Bill number 469, an act relating to the recall of municipal officials and providing for effect.
The Secretary will note that there is an additional referral of Senate Bill 469 to the Judiciary Committee. It will be subsequent to the referrals already made. Any further unfinished business? Senator Ray.
I don't know if this comes under unfinished business because certainly business isn't finished, but they're trying to do it here. And I wonder if this is a proper place to address a memorandum and some correspondence that has arrived between the state agencies, mayor rooms, and the Division of General Services and Administration.
Without objection.
Place, Mr. President?
It would be, sir. You have the floor.
Mr. President, I have a series of memorandum here. One is April 12th, 78, to all state agencies and mail rooms, and this is from Richard E. Gradley, Director, Division of General Services and Supply Department Administration on postage and mail. Because this will serve as notice to all state agencies effective the 1st of May, 1978, federal mail room will no longer pay the cost of mail received with postage due. And this goes on a little bit more. It says the Juneau Post Office has been notified of this decision and will return all postage due mail to the sender. On the same day, 12th of April, to the Juneau Post Office, attention, Mr. Woody Hose, this will serve to confirm the telecon of in April, the same thing. Our postage due fund will not be replenished and you are requested to return any monies left, et cetera. This decision will not affect any of the other standing funds, and that's by C.J. Harrigan, Jr., manager of the printing and duplication services. Then we have April 17th, Mr. Woody Hulls, repostage due mail. This is to advise you of a correction in our memo of the 12th of April concerning central mail room postage due. And as much as our central mail room postage due account is now completed, you are requested to begin returning such mail immediately instead of May 1st, 1978, as stated in the memo. Please note that this applies to mail which would normally have been charged to central mail room postage due account. And this is signed by Richard C. Bradley, Director. And then on April 18th, in the letter addressed to me, these are the letters that we received from the state authorizing us to return all the mail that is postage due. The mail that this includes are for any agency that does not have a postage due account with the post office, and this includes postage due mail from the Department of Revenue as well as the mail for the legislators. So anything that is sent apparently to you that your constituent has not put enough postage on will not receive it. They will automatically send it back. Post office has been directed to send it back. And this was signed by Mr. B. C. Borchick, the general foreman of mails. Mr. President, I don't think this is a proper attitude or proper management of the mails. I think perhaps through the State Affairs Committee, and with your good graces, perhaps floor leader or whoever else is necessary in here, we should come to some kind of a resolution here. I want my mail to come to me, and I'll pay the postage due on it. I don't care where it comes from. If my constituents want to send me mail, and if they forget to put the proper postage on it, I want to get it, and I'll pay for it. Also, I would believe that as a citizen, even though I am in the legislature, if I sent my income tax return in to the Department of Revenue and it was 2 cents short on it, and some smart aleck sent it back to me and caused me a $500 penalty in interest, I don't think I'd be very happy with it. So I think that this is another thing that we should take consideration of, and I don't know who Mr. Bradley is. I've had some dealings with him in the past that haven't been too successful. So perhaps with the full impact of the Senate, if it's necessary to do that, Mr. President, perhaps you can meet after the session with whoever you would like to and see if we can find some resolution to this problem.
Perhaps the Sergeant of Arms could make inquiry. It might be possible for individual senators to set up postage due accounts. I can imagine what might occur if somebody sent you 300 pounds of waste paper first class from Anchorage. I'm not sure that I'd want them to automatically accept it on my behalf, but I know what your problem is, sir.
Well, I've had that, Mr. President, in the capital relocation plan.
Senator Hubert.
Mr. President, I have the floor on the same subject.
Without objection, you have the floor,
Mr. President,
sir.
I don't think there's any worry about that last, because the post office will not accept any mail that does not have one full first class or one full postage paid upon. And that means that your postage due is extra insufficient. So they won't accept it any longer in the beginning. Now, Mr. President, we've run into problems before because the central mail room is closed at certain times. And sometimes we don't get legislative mail as fast as we should on account of it. I would like to make the suggestion that we have the Legislative Affairs Agency take the legislative mails, pouch B and maybe, what is it, the other pouch in pouch Y, that they be separated from central mail room and they be legislative mail and we take care of it ourselves.
I'll ask the Sergeant of Arms to investigate into that matter and see what we can work out to separate ours out from the general state mail. Senator Poland.
Mr. President, the same subject. Many of us from out of town have our mail forwarded, and of course the first class mail doesn't require additional postage, but the rest of it does. We leave money with the Legislative Affairs Agency to pay for this, and it's always been handled that way, and suddenly now they want to cut us off down at the post office. I certainly hope that this can be solved.
Any further discussion?
That is the problem, Mr. President, and I tried to point out perhaps I was successful in that, is that we aren't even going to get it as far as the Legislative Affairs or anything else. It's going to be stopped and short-stopped right at the post office upon the orders of Mr. Bradley.
Ask the Sergeant of Arms to give us a report on that as soon as he can. Any further unfinished business or special orders? Senator Meehan.
Under special orders, I would like to ask for the personal privilege of the floor to discuss the Western State Legislative Forestry Task Force.
Without objection, you have the floor, sir.
A couple of weeks ago, Mr. President, you did appoint me to this task force, and I did go down to Seattle accompanied by Representative Elias from the House. We were treated excellent down there. I believe it's a real high-quality group. On Saturday afternoon, we had an Alaska delegation there representing CMOL. There was three, Mr. Kramer from ALP, and Jim Clark, and Tony Motley. And on the other side of the table was a panel of three Sierra Club, one from Juneau, and two from Seattle. And they probably discussed the D2 issue for approximately an hour and a half. I'm real proud that the next day on Sunday that the Legislative Forestry Task Force did come out and pass a resolution supporting the Alaska legislature on all the D2 issues. Another thing, they had planned to have their next meeting in July in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and somehow somebody got talking about Sitka. And they decided that they would come to Sitka for the next Legislative Forestry Task Force. I think it was my persuasive way in always referring to Sitka as the Paris of the North Pacific. I think that's what he did this. Another interesting thing, which I'm real proud of, and that through the Washington State congressional delegation, they have arranged for a meeting with President Carter in Spokane on May 5th, and they have appointed me to meet with the president and give our views of the D2 issue. That's all. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Senator Bradley?
Mr. President, I request a special privilege of the floor to comment on the name identification. In regard to the Bradley that Senator Ray mentioned, I'd just like to make sure with the camera focused on me that that wasn't this Bradley, since I have a Bradley prop in the other house.
Senator, you get double exposure that way. Senator Poland?
Mr. President, I would request the special privilege of the floor to discuss the radio media item, please.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Yesterday evening, I was listening to the state and local news, and I was very concerned to hear that we're having problems with the Pioneers' home in Anchorage. They are now telling us that that building may not meet the fire code. Nursing patients shouldn't be in there, which of course is emphasizes the need of the nursing wing, which is in the bill passed by this body. But it distressed me very much, Mr. President, because I have had a feeling from the present administration that they are really not wholeheartedly behind our Pioneers' homes. We have been also hearing that the Pioneers should pay full cost of care. I can appreciate the problem there. I'm not sure that I'm in complete sympathy with it. But on this matter of the fire code, when that building was being designed, certainly this should have been an issue. We have the Palmer Pioneers' home with its wide halls, with every room that opens out onto the grounds. I'm sure that that home beats the code completely. I know that space was a problem in Anchorage, but they still certainly must have considered meeting the fire code. Now, they mentioned in the news article last night that the halls were too narrow and that nursing patients could only be kept in a small section of the home. Now, most people, by the time they go to the Pioneers' home, while they may not be hospital cases, have health problems that very often they do need nursing care. They're still ambulatory, and they're living a full life, and they enjoy being there with their friends. The news article also suggested that possibly these people should go out into nursing homes within the Anchorage area, and I do not feel that that has been the intent of the state of Alaska for its Pioneers, and I certainly hope that the Pioneer Home Bonding Bill will go on the ballot and will be passed, and these corrections will be made. We spent $8.7 million to build that home in Anchorage, and now to have this sort of flack coming up, I find not very understandable and very, very distressing. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Announcements? Senator Sackett?
Finance will be meeting tomorrow at 8 a.m., and I wonder if you might consider having announcements before special orders.
I'll entertain under special orders any announcements you wish to make, sir. Any further announcements?
Mr. President.
Senator Poland.
Senate Resources will meet this afternoon at 1:30 on committee substitute for House Bill 133, the Municipal Land Entitlement Bill.
Senator Hackney.
President, Health Education and Social Services, 2 o'clock. Continuation of the alcoholism bill, Senate Bill 546, 547, 549, 551. Mr. President, under announcements, I'd like to also just remind the body that today's deadline for reservations to the governor's prayer breakfast. Chuck Pulse will be the speaker, and the problem, Mr. President, is
people who are putting on this shindig. We'd like to know who's going to be coming, so if they can plan how large a block of tickets to be made available to the general public. I would urge members, if they haven't made reservations yet, please do so.
Any further announcements, Senator Holman?
Mr. President, there has been distributed to each member's desk the Judiciary Committee's hearing schedule for criminal code, Committee Substitute for House Bill 661. A similar schedule is being worked up for the Special Committee and the Permanent Fund, and shortly that should be available for distribution. After the adjournment, it will be distributed to committee, pre-conference committee report on House Bill 780, and I understand that's scheduled for consideration by the body tomorrow.
Any further announcements? Senator Coletta?
I'm going to remind the Democratic Luncheon today, Representative Sally Smith, the speaker. President, I'm going to ask the President to bring the...
Without objection, so ordered.